Turn, if you would, over to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. We're going to look at the story, the parable of the prodigal son, but we're not going to be able to finish it all this morning. And so you got to come back tonight, okay? And so you're going to get the whole story tonight, but we're going to do our best to get through some of it with you this morning. And so, again, you got to see the whole story, you got to come back tonight. Luke chapter 15, we're going to read it all, though, from verses 11 to 20 in just a moment. But, you know, as we think about the prodigal son, this is the most extensive of the parables. He gives, Jesus, when he tells the story, he gives the most details, and he really goes in deep with this story of the prodigal son. He also gives here some detailed information on the home, talking between a father and son and a brother, and a lot of information here. A great story here, the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 20, in your Bibles if you would. The Bible says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger said, gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? And I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." What a great story, the story of the prodigal son. And this morning, as we think of this story, as we think of this son, I first of all want us to see that the prodigal son, he got all. He got all. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 and 12 again, the Bible tells us, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living." This was kind of an unusual request, wasn't it? This was an unusual but not unheard of that a man, before he would die, would pass on his inheritance. I think about my grandfather and my grandma. When I was quite young, I remember they gave us some money. They gave all their grandkids some money, and it was to be used for their education, for college. And so before they passed on, and in fact, my grandma still is alive and well. She's doing well. They gave us all something. They passed on a part of their inheritance while they were still alive. And so it's not completely unheard of. We think about maybe businesses, that you have a family business. And what happens when the father gets older? Maybe he would pass on the business, the running of the business, and all the decisions and all of that. Maybe they'd pass that on to the sons or to their children, and he would just take some of the profits. It's not unheard of. It's not always common that you pass on your inheritance before you die, but it's not completely unheard of, is it? But what was very unusual was that the son asked for it. The younger son, he asked for it. He said, give me the portion of mine inheritance. He was asking for something that he had not worked for. He was asking for something that really was not his at all, really, was it? It was his inheritance. It was not his while his father was alive. You ever seen those bumper stickers that say, I'm spending my children's inheritance is not theirs until you give it to them, is it? So we shouldn't be expecting or say, that's mine. No, it's not ours. But he asked for it. Something interesting here that it says that in the verses we read, we'll read it again. I tried to point it out to you and make emphasis on it. In verse 12, at the last part of it, he said, and he divided unto them his living. Not only did he give the younger son his inheritance, he divided his inheritance unto them. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, it sets a pattern that the oldest would receive a double portion. And so if you had five sons, the inheritance would be split up into six, and the older son would get two parts of that inheritance. If you had three sons, it would be split up into four, and the older son would receive half the inheritance, two parts. So in this case, we have two sons, the younger and the older, and so the younger son would only receive a third, and the older son would have received two-thirds. The firstborn was to receive a double portion. There's a biblical application that we could take from this, that you know that God sometimes gives us something that we shouldn't have. Sometimes that God will give us our request even when it's not good for us. God will give us a request. We ask Him for something, sometimes He will give us something even though it is not good for us to have. Psalms 106 and verse 15, the Bible says, and He gave them their request, but sent leanness unto their soul. I heard Pastor R.B. Ouellette tell a story about a rich family that hired a nanny. And this rich family, they could afford the nanny, and they got the nanny, but they didn't get the nanny because they were so busy that they just didn't have time, and so they needed some help with the children. That wasn't the reason. They just got a nanny because, very simply, the mother wasn't so interested in rearing the children. And so they got the help because she didn't want to be bothered with having to rear her own children and watch her own children. And so they got a nanny. And one day they were in their house, and the kids and the nanny were in one room and the parents were in another room. And the son began to cry. And the mother was getting annoyed by the sounds of her crying son. And she yelled over to the other room, what's going on over there with him? What's wrong with him? And the nanny began to say, well, he wants, and she said, just give him what he wants. And so the crying stopped, and it wasn't very long. The boy began to scream. And the boy and the mother, very annoyed that she had to deal with her son, got up and went to the other room and said, what are you doing to my son? Why is he screaming? And the nanny very sweetly replied, I just did what you instructed me to do. You see, your son was reaching for a colorful wasp that was on the windowsill and playing in, kind of on the window. He's trying to reach for it. And I said, no, you can't reach for that, and pulled him away. But then you said to give him what he wanted. So I let go of him. And he went and grabbed that bee, and it stung him. He got what he wanted, didn't he? He got what he wanted. We don't know what we want, do we? We don't know what's good for us. What we want often isn't good for us, isn't it? We're not smart enough to know what we actually want. Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse 12. Who knoweth what is good for man in this life? There's a short story writer. His name is O. Henry. And he writes the story of the gift of the Magi. And you maybe have heard this story, the gift of the Magi. And it's about this poor couple. I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but it's about this poor couple. And they only have each a very special treasure to them. A man, he has this pocket watch. And his wife, she has long, beautiful hair. And they were their only treasures. And so one Christmas, they were just so in love with each other, they decided they wanted to get something special for their spouse. And so the man, he decided he was going to sell his only treasure, his watch that he loved, and buy something special for his wife. And so he bought some seashell combs for her hair. But his wife, wanting to do something special for her husband, cut off her hair and sold it to get his a chain for his watch. And so showing love there. There's another story that O. Henry tells. And he tells about, he writes a story about this monkey's paw. It's called The Monkey's Paw. And the story goes that a family, whoever owns this monkey's paw or possesses the monkey's paw, gets three wishes. And so if you have the monkey's paw, and it's this old shriveled up paw, exactly like what it sounds like, you get three wishes. And so the family made a wish. They wished for $10,000. And back then, it was quite a ways back, where $10,000 was a lot of money. Not that it's not a lot of money today, but it was a lot of money. It was more like $100,000 today or something like that. And so they made this wish for $10,000. And as soon as they got finished making the wish, it wasn't very long that there was a knock at the door. And they opened the door and there was a policeman and said, "I'm so sorry to tell you this, but your son has been in a terrible accident and he's passed away." And as they heard those words, they were reminded that they had just taken out a life insurance policy on their son for $10,000. And they thought, this isn't what we wanted. This isn't what we wanted. So they wished that they would have their son back. But when they made their wish, the son was there, but he was all bloody and broken and beaten. Maybe not even to live. They said, this isn't what we wanted. So they used their third wish to wish that everything was back before they had started making wishes on that monkey's paw. We don't know what we want, do we? We don't really know what we want. There's only one person who knows what's best for us. We don't know what's really best for our lives, do we? We think this is would make my life better, but we don't really know that, do we? Only God really knows what's best for us. Only God really knows what is good for us. Fathers in general shouldn't give their children everything that they want. What they want could hurt them. And so we have to use that bad, dirty word, no. No. And sometimes we need to say no, don't we? No to our children, yes. But no to ourselves. Say no. 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 It's not easy to say. It's not easy to live, is it? But we need to say it. Because we don't always know what we want. When we pray to our Father, when we pray to God, we need to pray like Jesus did in the garden. Not my will, but thine be done. We pray for needs. We pray for different things, and that's good. The Bible says, come boldly before the throne of grace. We need to go to and pray. I'm not saying that in any way, but our attitude behind our prayer needs to be, Lord, if this is not good for me, if this is not best, I trust in you. I want your will to be done. I want your will to be done. Here we have in our story, the story teaches us that, yeah, he got all, didn't he? He got all that he wanted. He got his inheritance. But it wasn't really good for him, was it, when he got all? You know that there's a penalty usually for taking or getting things early? Maybe there's something you want. You know you can get it. They advertise you can have it today. No money down. Interest free for 12 whole months. But if you make a mistake on that, you'll pay a lot of interest and you'll pay a lot of penalty. There's usually a penalty. There's a catch, isn't there? You can go buy something today and put it on a credit card, but you'll pay a lot of interest come next month if you don't pay it off. I've learned that too many times. Maybe you have too. You can have what you want now. He got what he want, but was it best for him? Was it good for him? You save up money and put it in an RSP or in a CD. You can have it today. You can have it before it matures, but there's a penalty that you have to pay. It's not a good investment to take it early. It wasn't a good idea, really, for this son to have gotten to receive his inheritance, to get all today, was it? Was it a good investment today for him to get it now? It wasn't. It wasn't a good investment for him. It wasn't a good idea for him. He wasn't ready for it, but the Father gave it to him anyways. We should be asking God to supply our needs, but keep it in His will. I'm so glad that God has kept things from me, things that I wanted. Little did I know it wasn't best for me. Maybe I even prayed and asked the Lord for them. Lord, I want this. I want this to happen. I want this job. And the Lord said no. And He said, I wanted it. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm so glad He said no, because it would have taken me on a different path in life. It would have taken me to a place I didn't want to go in my life. He says no to us sometimes. Glad He does. But here in our story, He got all, didn't He? He got all. Not only did He get all, the Bible says in verse 13, He gathered all. Not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country where he wasted his substance with riotous living. I mentioned this morning that we had a great vacation. I really enjoyed going to Nicaragua. I've never been to Nicaragua before. What made it really special was that Gretel got to see family members that she hadn't seen since she was four. She got to see her one grandmother and some aunts and uncles and different people that even used to watch her and things like that, people that she barely even had memory of. And so it just was a great trip. But also we had a little time of vacation, a little fun. That was good too. But you know, you're going on a trip like that, you take some younger kids, there's a lot to think about, isn't there? We started packing for that trip weeks in advance. And of course we planned for it more than a year in advance. But you know, there's a lot of things to think about when you start thinking about taking a 1 and 3 year old, you know, on a plane and going, you know, to another country where you don't know if they have different things or this or that, and you don't know if they're going to get sick or what's going to happen or what they might need and so on. And so what happens? You pack a lot of things, don't you? I think actually we did pretty good. Gretel's other family that we stayed with and so on, and they packed more than we did, and they were they didn't have little kids and things, so I thought we did pretty good. But anyways, you go on a big trip, and you want to make sure you pack and have what you need, but you don't take everything that you have. You don't gather all your belongings and go on your trip. That doesn't make any sense. I was talking with Bill and Margaret Pauly, if you remember, they've come to our church for a little while, and they spend their winter in Florida. And so I was talking with them, and I told them we had a great trip and just wanted to check in and see how they're doing. And I said, when we came back, oh, it was so cold in Canada. And he mentioned to me how, you know, in Florida it was nice. I looked up at the weather. I think it's 20 degrees there. You know, they're enjoying some nice weather in Florida. But anyways, you know, I wanted to throw the computer on the ground, but I didn't, of course. It wouldn't have bothered him any, so. But it was still, you know, I didn't want to see that. That's probably how you guys have been feeling, so I need to stop talking about Nicaragua. I'm not there anymore anyways. I'm freezing still here. My feet are still cold from driving in, so we're trying to keep things warm in here, okay? But you know what? They went on, they're still there, but you know when they go to every time that they go to Florida, they don't gather all their belongings. Sure, they're gone for several months. They probably take a lot of things, but they don't gather all. They don't gather all. Maybe you're thinking, well, you don't know my wife. When we go on a trip, it might seem like she gathers all, but she doesn't, okay? That's a feeling, not based on fact. But this man, the prodigal son, what did he do? He gathered all. He gathered all. And that statement says a lot about his intentions, doesn't it? That statement tells a lot about what his plan is. He gathered all, and he went to that faraway country, meaning he wasn't planning on returning. He gathered everything that he had. He didn't want to miss anything. He gathered all. He gathered all. Notice the timing of this. The Bible says, not many days after. Wasn't very long after he received his inheritance that he gathered everything together. He didn't want to wait around after he got his independence, after he got his inheritance, he gathered it all together, and he wasn't going to stay around very long. He was tired of working in the Father's fields. He was tired of living under the Father's house and living by the Father's rules and having the Father's responsibilities or the responsibilities of the Father placed upon him. He was tired of it. He was out of there as soon as he could. It wasn't many days long. He gathered everything together. He made his preparations and he said, "See you later, Dad. See you later, Mom. I'm gone. I'm tired of this. I want out of here." And he gathered all. "I don't ever want to be under my Father's rules. I'm not coming back. I'm not coming back, Father. I'm not coming back, Dad. I don't like your duties. I don't like the disciplines of living under your house." And so he gathered all. You know that almost nobody likes to be told what to do. Almost no one really likes to be told what to do. But guess what? You can't escape it, can you? You can try, but you won't be able to. You can't escape authority. You can't escape someone telling you what to do. You've maybe heard of this, and I've heard of it as well, where a teenage boy gets sick and tired of living in his father's house and living, having his mother tell him what he can and cannot wear and what he can and cannot eat and what time he has to be home, and says, "I'm out of here. I'm going to join the army." You ever heard of that? And that doesn't make too much sense, does it? Someone wasn't thinking when he said, "I'm going to have my independence. I'm going to do whatever I want." Those drill sergeants are so nice, aren't they? And they coddle you as they form you into the soldier, right? You know, when you run away from some place because it's too rigid and there's too many requirements or there's too many rules, if it's a godly place and if it's a right place, I'm not talking about if there's abuse. If there's abuse, you know, child abusers and people that abuse people, they belong in jail, okay? But if you run away because you're in a right place and it's a godly place, but you just don't like all the requirements, all the rules. I'm tired of somebody telling me what to do. You know, some people run away from family, don't they? Some people run away from friends. Maybe their friends they run away from friends because they don't like to see their friends doing right. It reminds them that they're doing wrong. And so they'll run away from friends. Sometimes they'll run away from church because you don't have the right to tell me, you know, use the Bible to apply to my life. How dare you? And so they'll run away from churches. You know, they'll run away because they don't want maybe people telling what music or what movies or what to watch or what to eat or what to put in their bodies. You know, or what not to. Don't let the Bible. I'm okay with hearing, you know, nice stories, and I'm okay with, you know, a nice smile and telling me that I'm doing okay, but don't use the Bible to actually apply to my life. And so they'll run away. I want to be free. But do you know what? Almost every time you'll run away because of restrictions, you'll find that when you run away, you'll actually have more. If you want to run away from God because there's too many restrictions, there's too many thou shalt not, thou shalt, go ahead, run out into the world. You'll find your freedom. Nope. What do you find? Bondage. Oh, you'll find bondage. It might be fun for a little bit, but the devil's got you. He's got gotchas. He makes it look all nice. It makes it look like it's a lot of fun. But you run away to that far country, think, I'm going to get away from the rules. I'm going to get away from the restrictions. I'm going to get away from the responsibilities. But no, it comes with more bondage. It comes with more hurt. It comes with tighter restrictions. And you'll be wishing that you were back at the Father's house. He got all. He gathered all. And lastly, we're going to see this morning that he spent all. He spent it all. He didn't want to be there with Mom and Dad anymore, so he went to that far country. And the Bible says that he wasted his substance on riotous living. Wasted. Wasted means to spread abroad or to scatter. There was no planning. There was no discipline. There was no saving for tomorrow. It was more like just eat, drink, and be merry. Just live it up today. He was thinking, man, I'm rich. I'm rich. I'm going to do whatever I want. He had all the money, he had all the freedom, and he was just going to have fun. You know, anyone who lives like this is living completely in the flesh. Living completely in the flesh. That's not the way the Spirit would have us to live. The Bible says, a wise man, in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 20, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. But a foolish man spendeth it up. When you spend everything, the Bible says you're a fool. The Bible says, go to the ant, thou slugger. Go to work if you have need. The Bible says that the ant, what does he do? He stores up because he understands that winter is coming. We need to be wise. A fool spendeth it up. A fool spendeth it up. The first year we got married, we went on a little vacation, and we went on we drove down to Florida and visited family on the way and stayed with family and so on. And then we had a cheap cruise that we got, and I'll tell you, it was cheap and it was small, but we enjoyed it. We went down to Bahamas and was on the island for, I think, 8 hours total, Nassau, Bahamas, and but it was good. It was a lot of fun. We enjoyed it. It was a good little vacation. And when we were there, someone pointed out to us that you see those big hotels, and they're beautiful, and they have this bridge that goes across. They said, that's the Michael Jackson suite. It's $30,000 a night to stay in that, and that's where Michael Jackson would stay, or used to stay, or whatever he would say. And they were just beautiful, beautiful hotels. And in these hotels, guess what there is? Casinos. There's casinos. But do you know that it's illegal for a Bohemian to go to the casino and waste his money? It's illegal there. Now, they're okay with tourists coming in and wasting their money. They say, yeah, give us your money. That's okay. But it's illegal for the Bohemians to do so. That's interesting. You know, a hardcore gambler doesn't set limits. A hardcore gambler doesn't set limits. As they think about this prodigal son, we don't see him setting any limits, does he? No, he doesn't set limits. The Bible says he wasted it. He spent it. He spent all. He said, I'm just going to play a video game for an hour. No, that's what he said? No. He just sat down and he was going to play until he rescued the princess or until he shot up all the bad guys or until he did whatever the game was about. He just did it. I was going to say I don't know anyone here, but I know my friends, they play video games. I played with them, okay? I play the odd time, and not much anymore, but I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with it. I'm just using this as an example for us this morning. But if you were, you know, there's people that create their characters. Maybe you're one of these people. I hope you're not. But you create your character online, and you play against people online and different things. And you maybe build a city online, and you'll build towns and so on and so forth and so on with video games. And you meet people, and you... I've even heard of people go on dates and stuff, and these fantasy, they're living a pretend life. You know that there's a real world that we need to spend some time in? There's a real world where you can actually, you know, do some of these things and meet people and talk with people. There's a real place. You know, God has given us so much. He's given us a life. We need to stop pretending, don't we? Sometimes there's some adults that need to grow up and stop pretending. My daughter's 3 and a half, and she'll come to me. And I said, Addison, can you pick up that toy or something? And she'll say, I'm not Addison, I'm a princess. I say, princess, go pick up that toy. And if I remember right, she did, okay? Another time she'll come up to me and say, woof, 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 woof. And she'll have a little rope and she says, walk me, I'm a dog. Woof, woof, woof. Take me for a walk. And so we'll walk her around and we'll pretend, okay? And she enjoys it. Pretend. It's okay to pretend. It's okay. You know, if video games are your hobby, I think it's okay, but not without limits, okay? That's all I'm trying to get to. Not without limits. Whatever your hobby is, whether it be golf or whether it be watching some sport or, I don't know, whatever your hobby is, it doesn't matter what it is. Sure, you want to spend some time doing something that you enjoy, go for it. That's why God's given us things, I think, to enjoy. But you know what? Not without limits. Not without limits. Here, this man received all, he gathered all, and he spent all. He didn't set any limits. Didn't set any limits in his life. He just, the Bible says, he wasted it all. He wasted it on riotous living. Wasted it. No limits. He looked at something, he said, that looks good, and so he bought it. He saw something, he said, that looks like fun, and so he did it. Whether it was right or wrong, he did it. The word riotous comes from the same word that we get salvation from. It comes from the same word. The difference is it comes with an un. So instead of saving, it would be unsaving. He spent everything unsavingly. We could put it that way. He didn't save anything, is what it's saying here. He spent it all on things that didn't have any value. That's where I'm getting at this morning. We spend so much of our lives, far too much of our lives, on things that don't have any value. Well, we maybe even this world places value on it, but do you know what? That doesn't matter if the world places value on something. Does God place value on it? Does it have eternal value? Because the Bible says that we don't know what will happen tomorrow. We don't know what another day is going to bring forth. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Sometimes, eventually, these things are, you can't take your things with you to your grave. You can if you want, but you don't take them to your eternal home. The world tries to tell us to do exactly what this man did. He spent his substance on something that had no value. The world tries to tell us to spend your substance on things that have no value. What do you get when you drink alcohol, when you drink booze? Oh, maybe it'll make you happy for a moment, but then you get a long hangover. What do you really get if you decide to take drugs? What do you really get when you live an immoral lifestyle? What do you end up with? What do you end up with at the end? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing that is of any benefit to you. He lived it up, didn't he? He spent it all on riotous living. But what did he really get? We read about where he ended up. He ended up with the pigs. He ended up wishing that he could eat pig food. Garbage. That's what he got. The devil just ate him up and spit him out. You want the world and the devil presents sin so nice, doesn't it? And this man, he went to a far country and he bought into it. He bought into every advertisement you've ever seen. And he thought, this will make me happy. This will make me, my father would never let me do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. It looks like it's going to bring me happiness. The flesh wants it. But what did he end up with of any substance? You ever been to a fair? We have some friends here. We have a great fair at Simcoe. We have a good fair here as well, the Western Fair. But you know what? I've enjoyed it the last 2 years. But do you know what I never do when I go to a fair? Play the games. Yeah. Never do it. My wife sometimes will be like, that looks like, no, I'm not going to play a stupid game. Because you know what? They're rigged. Yeah. They're rigged. You know, I think I could throw a ball and knock over some milk cans. But not when the milk cans are made of cement and the ball is made of rubber. It's not going to work. They're rigged, aren't they? They got to figure it out to make money. And if you went to the fair and, you know, you could play a bunch of games. You could have maybe a lot of fun. But do you know what you wouldn't get to do? You wouldn't get to ride on any rides. You wouldn't get to eat any food. And that's the best part of a fair anyways. See, to get that elephant ear or to get that pogo or whatever. I guess not pogo, corn dog. It's a real thing. but they're good. Fudge. But if you spend all your money playing games, guess what you'll end up with? If you're lucky, if you actually will do something, you might end up with this stuffed animal, right? And it's a special stuffed animal. Maybe you want it for someone special, right? I don't know why you would do all that. But, you know, it's a special stuffed animal. But do you know what? You could buy that stuffed animal for the dollar at the dollar store, no problem. It's that quality, and that, they sell them there. No, but this one's special because you spent $20, $30, $40, $50 on it. It's a special one. You end up with nothing. You know, the world's got it rigged. The devil's got it rigged. There's lots of flashing lights, isn't there? He tries to entice you. Come on over, come play the game. I say, no, thank you. Come on over, look at the great prizes, and they're huge. Look what you can win. And so often we do just what this man does. We spend our substance on riotous living, things that look good, but what do you really end up with? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing of eternal value. You go to a graveyard, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see a bunch of tombstones. And they're all common. They have the same things on them. You'll see a beginning date. This person was born. And this person died. And you know what? You can't choose when you're born. And the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die. It's not for man to choose when you're to die either. God decides that. So God decides when you're born, and God should be the one who decides when you die. But you know what's in between there? A little dash. And what that dash, you have some choice in, don't you? In how are you going to spend that time, that dash between the beginning and the end? That's up to you. We've been talking about stewardship, stewarding our lives, stewarding our finances, stewarding the resources, stewarding what God has given to us. How are we being good stewards? Are we being good managers of what God has given us? God's given us a dash. Are we spending it for Him? What He's given to us, are we using it for Him? Oh, you can spend all your dash on Facebook, Instagram, video games, TV, movies, sports, whatever it is. And you know what? If it doesn't have any eternal value, it's gone, and it's gone forever. It's so easy to waste our lives on things that don't matter for eternity. I heard a story about a boy, and he was given an art project. And in his art project, he had to either paint a little picture or he had to make a little soap carving. And he said, I'm a boy. I'm going to make a soap carving because at least I can play with my little knife. And so he went home and he started working on it. He took out his little jackknife that he was given and he started carving and whittling 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 and whittling. But do you know what? He made a mistake. At the beginning, he forgot to make a plan. He didn't decide what he was going to create. Man, as he whittled and whittled and whittled, it took on a lot of neat shapes. Sometimes it looked really cool. He kind of was expecting a lion or a bear or something to pop out and wow. But he kept whittling and whittling and whittling and whittling. And soon he didn't have anything in his hand. And all he had was a big mess on the floor. He went outside and played. And the little boy heard his mom calling him, hey, aren't you supposed to be doing your work? What's this mess on the floor? He says, that's my art project. That's my art project. He carved it all away. He wasted it all away because he didn't have a plan. He didn't have a purpose. And he spent it all. You know, God has given us a life. Are you going to spend it for Him? You know, that's why God says, my favorite verse is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy path. God has a path. God has a purpose. He has a plan for you. But if you decide to do whatever you want, He'll let you. He would rather you come and follow Him and do what He wants you to do. But if you want to go off and go to a faraway country and waste your life, go ahead. I wish you wouldn't, but He's given you free will to do so. He's allowed us to do it. But one day, we're going to give an account of what He's given us. He's given us abilities. He's given us opportunities. But one day we're going to give an account. The Bible calls it the judgment seat of Christ. One day we're going to give an account of our works, whether they were good or whether they were evil. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 and 13, Now if any man build upon this foundation, now listen to what you can build upon, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. You know what's interesting about the analogy that the Scripture gives? That those substances that He lists, none of them are bad. None of those things are bad. What's wrong with wood? The pews you are sitting on are made of wood. I'm sure you have chairs at home that are made of wood. Your houses, what are they made of? The studs and so on, they're made of wood. There's nothing wrong with wood. What about hay? Hay, we give it to our livestock. Hay is an important part of feeding them. A straw, now they don't eat it, but they would put it down and they lie on it. And, you know, there's some animals pretty happy today that they're laying in some straw. It's cold. It keeps them warm. There's nothing necessarily wrong with them. But what's, you know what? They all burn. They don't last the test of fire. But the gold, silver, and precious stone does. Some do not last by fire, but some do. And so the Bible says we're going to see what kind of works and what sort it is. Gold, silver, and precious stones, they stand the test of fire. I'm afraid that some of us live our lives with no idea of what God wants. We're like that little boy. We whittle. And we half expect that a church member is going to pop out. We half expect as we whittle our lives that, you know, a Sunday school teacher is going to pop out. That a soul winner is going to pop out. We think that, you know, I'll just keep working at it. And surely I'm going to do something for God. But you know what? We need to follow God's will. We need to follow God's plan. One day we're going to stand before God. And like that little boy, if we didn't follow Him, if we didn't follow His plan, God's going to say, "What's this mess on the floor?" And you're going to say, "Lord, that's my life. That's my life, Lord. That's my life. Why didn't you follow me? Why didn't you trust in me?" This man wasted his life, the Bible says, on riotous living.